And I have the privilege of supporting approximately 65 churches and camps across the country. And I do appreciate this opportunity to praise the Lord with you today. I want you to know sincerely that the worship team that you had today would just travel anywhere in our country, and people would appreciate what an incredible worship team you have. Can we thank the Lord for them as well? Just beautiful music today, and the presence of the Lord is here. And what a joy that you are a church of prayer and a people of prayer. I'm so grateful for you and that God has raised you up in this season. You're part of a thriving missional group of churches across Canada. As a district, we have formed 5 church planting networks or multiplication networks, and you're part of what we call the Northern Lights network, even though this is, I guess, the near north. Is that correct, the way I'm saying that? It's beautiful here. I arrived last night about supper time and took a hike near my hotel up in North Bay. And I think this is a bit like heaven on earth, what I'm seeing here. I've been here in the winter. It didn't feel so much like heaven then. But I'm really amazed how beautiful this area is. And you live in just an incredible place. We also, in addition to Northern Lights Network, we have, and Northern Lights Network is Powassan, it's North Bay, it's Thunder Bay, it's Bruce Mines, and Kirkland Lake. So spread out across a wide territory, but that's your group of churches. We've also, this year, we also have other networks. We have the Genesis Network, which is Quebec to just west of Kingston along the St. Lawrence River Valley. We have the Ottawa Valley Network. We have, as well, the Sun Network, Southern Ontario Network, which is our churches west of the Kingston area all the way to the border. And then we have the Sea to Sky Network, which is everything west of Thunder Bay, all of our churches and camps there. These are the churches we've launched in the last, since 2024. We have Lighthouse Church KW, which is the, it's that next picture. If it's there, one more. And we'll show the pictures. That's the Lighthouse Church KW. They launched in December. They're in Kitchener-Waterloo. So if you know anybody in Kitchener-Waterloo, the pastor is right beside me, Pastor Suzette Costadinova. That's her husband Peter, her little boy Levi, and their daughter MJ. And they launched a brand new church in Kitchener-Waterloo. They meet in a movie theater on Sunday mornings. And so it's a wonderful group of people. The next church is called Montreal Wesleyan Church. That is Pastor Jeannot and his family. Pastor Jeannot is from Haiti. He came to Montreal 2 years ago, and they have launched an intentional French-speaking church. They have people from the African French-speaking diaspora from Haiti, and they're praying for Quebecois to join them as well. So instead of going in Creole language, they've gone in the French language, and I preached my first sermon in French about a month or two ago, and actually I read the sermon in French, and it was kind of slow, and so it was more like reading than preaching, but they were so kind to me that day. And so the next one is Hope Wesleyan Church, Montreal. This is a group of Filipino people that have come to Canada. And now we have 2 Filipino churches in Montreal. And they launched in October. I wasn't able to be present. So my predecessor, Dr. Rigby, he was there and represented the Central Canada District. The next church that launched a year ago is in Toronto, and it's called Midtown Wesleyan Fellowship, and that is Pastor Chuck and his wife and daughter, and they are another Filipino church. So we have 2 Filipino churches in Toronto, 2 Filipino churches in Montreal, and we're so glad that these churches are growing and thriving. And then this church is the church I checked in on this last week. It's called First Act Church in Calgary. So now we have two Wesleyan churches in Calgary. And the pastors, the guy in the hat in the back corner, his name is Pastor Jesse Langford. He's from Newfoundland and Labrador, went to Kingswood University, and they launched this church last October as well. So new churches are starting. Would you pray with me that new churches will continue to start across Canada? We are so blessed to have all of them. I also want to thank your board here at Powassan Wesleyan Church, your board chair, Dave. I want to thank Dave for the good work. And can we say thank you to your board here at the church as well? Powassan Wesleyan, your future is bright because your foundation is strong. And you're the kind of church that shows up for the people of this community. I've heard that reputation for years of how you reach out to this community, how you've served teens and young people in the community, how you, even this week, I guess, had a dinner for the community and have those regularly. And so thank you. We bless you. Let me pray for you before I continue in this message. Father, I just want to bless the people of this church. They love the people of this community. And Father, thank you that this church is a lighthouse and that this place shines the light of Christ and the love of Christ into this surrounding region. Father, we just pray you continue to hold them up and lift them up as they represent Christ. We love you, Lord, today, and thank you for Father's Day. Thank you for the message of the Word of God that we will preach this morning. We pray, Lord, that our ears and our eyes and our hearts would be open to what you want to say to us, Holy Spirit. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're about to eavesdrop on the most epic prayer in history. So imagine you're scrolling through your phone or you're on the internet, or maybe you receive a letter addressed to you in the mail, and you get this message, and the message is from Jesus himself. And the message is that he's praying for you today. That's what's happening in John 17. It's the night before Jesus is going to go to the cross, and Jesus is pouring out his heart to his Father, not just for his disciples. He's praying for the disciples that he had recruited, but he's also praying for every one of us in this room. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 20 through 26. It's also on the screen. I want to invite you to please stand for the reading of God's Word today if you are able. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you, Father. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So let's be real for a minute. We just had a prayer time. We know that the world outside of this church this morning is, well, it's in turmoil. When we turn on CNN or we turn on CBC and we see that there are missiles hitting residential areas, when we hear of all the wars in Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Iran, when we hear about conflicts in Africa and Asia, when we hear about the political conflicts taking place right here in North America and the kinds of demonstrations that we've been seeing, we see turmoil in politics and social media. And it's like we're all playing a giant game of divide to conquer. But Jesus, in John 17, he's offering a different plan. And it's a good plan. He prays, Father, make them one. So we can notice that this is truly the ultimate Father's Day prayer, can't we? Jesus is praying to his Father. Every good father wants their children to be united. Every good father sees his children as special. Not just so that we can have a superficial kind of get-together, but every father wants this deep communion and this deep unity. Jesus wants the world to see the love of disciples, those who follow Christ, and he wants the world to go, whoa, there's something going on with that group of people. Something's different about those people. In John 17, Jesus lays out his prayer to his Father, his dream for the church. It's a dream for unity, for holiness, and a love that is so contagious that it changes the world. So let's lean in and see how we can live this out. Let's just look at a few lessons from John 17 that we can apprehend today on this Father's Day. The first one is this, and I've already mentioned it. Jesus, in John 17, Jesus is praying for you. Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't captured by time? We're time-bound, aren't we, as creatures, right? We are created and we're time-bound. We have to get here and there. Some of you have appointments today, hopefully with family, hopefully with friends. But we're time-bound and we get tired. We have to sleep. We are time-bound in the sense that our lives only last for a season. But Jesus is not time-bound. So when Jesus is praying to the Father in John 17, his prayer is effective not only in the present when he was praying, it was effective for the past, and it was also effective for the future because Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for every one of us in this room. So when you read John 17, you're reading a present prayer. Jesus is praying that prayer for all of us. He's praying that prayer for Powassan Wesleyan Church. He's praying for Powassan, Ontario, for June 15th, 2025. That's the prayer that Jesus is praying. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who was their word? The apostles. And who are those who will believe? That's us. The ones who are now believing. So Jesus, hours away from the cross, he could have been praying for anything, for strength, for courage, you name it. But what does he do? He prays for you. Jesus is praying for you right now. Sitting here in Powassan Wesleyan in 2025 with all that is going on in your life, with all that's going on in our world, in your work, in your community, Jesus Christ is praying for you. John Wesley, our Wesleyan Methodist hero, he said this, God's grace is for everyone, every single person. No one's left out of this prayer. Think about it like this. My wife, Kimberly, and I, we pray for our children and grandchildren every single day. So there's my grandchildren, that is just taken about a month ago. That's Jasper on your left, and that's Willow Jane on your right. Those are our two grandchildren. Now, believe it or not, I pray every day. We've already started praying, Lord, prepare their spouses, get their spouses ready. Hopefully they're also, the spouses are hopefully in cribs somewhere or at playground somewhere. We are praying, God, in 2025, get ready for 2040-something. We're praying that these children, we pray that these children would be blessed and protected, not just today. We pray for them. We're praying for them in school. We're praying for them that all will go well every day of their life. And guess what? I'm time-bound, but Jesus is not time-bound. Christ is with those beautiful grandchildren, which I think are the best grandchildren. How many of you have grandchildren? How many of you think yours are the best? Yeah, I thought so, right? Well, these are the best, but these two little ones, we're praying for them, and I know you're praying for your grandchildren, and because of Christ not being time-bound, those prayers are effective in 2030-something. Those are effective prayers when you pray them now. You are a blessing to your children and your grandchildren. The biggest blessing isn't just the meals you make or the gifts you give. The biggest blessing is when you hit your knees and you pray for those children and you pray for those grandchildren. That is the biggest blessing. They may not even know it consciously, but Christ is present because Christ isn't bound by time and he's not bound by space. He is everywhere present, and he is there when you pray. So he's praying, Jesus is praying for you, and he's praying for our kids, and he's praying for our communities. So let it sink in. Jesus believes in you enough to pray for you. Let that fuel your faith today. Let that help you to live boldly for Christ. So what's he praying for? Well, the second point in this message that I'd like to offer you today, the second lesson, is he's praying for unity that is like the Trinity. And the scripture says that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Now, if I was praying for something, Jesus, he's praying that we may be one, that we will have a unity like the Trinity. But unity doesn't mean that you all have to cheer for the greatest hockey team in the world, the Montreal Canadiens, like I do. That's not the unity, right, that we're talking about. You're already Canadiens fans, right? Is that the idea around here? Probably a lot of any Maple Leafs fans just raise up. I am praying for all of you for patience. 1967 was a long time ago, wasn't it? 1993 was a long time ago, too. That's the year I got married. That's the last time my team won the Stanley Cup, right? So anyway, we're all waiting around here, and Edmonton doesn't look like they're in great shape right now either. So let's just remember that that's not unity. Jesus is talking about a unity that is as tight as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate team. The Trinity is the ultimate unity. Different roles, same mission. That's the vibe that Jesus wants for us. John Wesley once again said this in his sermon called Catholic Spirit, not Roman Catholic, but Catholic in the terms of unity, universal spirit. He said, if your heart is as mine, as my heart, give me your hand. We can unify around Jesus Christ. Here's a picture. I'm terrible at dancing. I am just terrible at it. But one of my daughters was a ballet dancer, and when she and the other dancers in her company would dance the ballet, it was beautiful. Different moves, but all in sync. Think of an orchestra. Tuba players, drummers, trumpets, triangles. Everyone matters. They're all doing something different, but they're in complete unity with the music. Paul compares the church to a human body. It takes all parts of your body working together. Not everyone, Paul says, is a hand. Not everyone is a foot. Not everyone is a mouth. But everyone is vital. That's the church when we're united. Believers professing Christ, all moving to the same beat of God's love. But let's get real. Unity's hard, right? Is unity easy? Do any of you find that unity is simple or easy? Man, unity's hard when somebody's posting a crazy opinion about something online or cutting you off at the Tim Hortons parking lot. But you know what, Wesleyans, what we believe? We believe that unity, even though not humanly possible, is possible from the Holy Spirit. Not just trying harder. If we try harder, we might actually make things worse. But God, through His Holy Spirit, when we then try with the Holy Spirit working in us, something supernatural begins to happen. There can be a unity that goes beyond the unity of this world. So check your heart. Do you have any grudges today? Are you looking side-eye at another person in this community? This week, text someone and say, hey, let's grab coffee. Let's figure this out. Let's talk together. Let's talk about, you can talk about the Lord, but start building that unity once again. There may be someone, if you're like me, there may be someone in your life that it's always important to say, I'll take the first step. I'll take the first step, even though it's not easy. Even though sometimes I don't think I should have to take the first step. I'll take the first step. Why should Christians take the first step? Because Jesus took that first step, became incarnate, born in Bethlehem, and took the steps to the cross. That was our Savior, Jesus Christ, and He loves you that much. He took that step for you, and because of that love, He's asking you to take that step with someone else. Thirdly this morning, third lesson from John 17, we can be unified, but we can also be perfected in love. The Scripture says that they may become perfectly one. This is the Wesleyan message. Jesus prays for us to be perfected in unity, which is a code word for something called entire sanctification. Now, don't let the phrase scare you. It's not about being perfect like you never make a mistake or you never burn the toast or you never roll a stop sign. We've all done it. It happens to all of us. It's not that kind of perfection. It's not like being perfect that you never make a mistake. It's about a heart, though, that is so full of God's love that it spills over into everything you do. John Wesley said, Christian perfection is love ruling the heart and the life. It's love ruling. It's this gift that I got. This is the Father's Day gift that I got from not even one of my kids. This gift came the other day from a guy that I think wants to marry my oldest daughter. And he did the right thing. He gave me a gift with my favorite football team on it, this little tumbler. So, you know, and I was just like, well, he just went up a point or two. We'll see how this goes, right? But this thing, you know, when it overflows, when I'm exercising and I've got tea in it right now, but when I put ice water in this thing, when I'm exercising and or when I'm out in the hot sun doing a chore, man, I love it when this thing is just to the brim and overflowing, and then you just get refreshed, right? That's what Christians are supposed to be in the world, overflowing with love, so much love. And is that something you can generate on your own? Let me tell you, some of you are very lovely, but you can't generate that kind of love. This is the kind of love that God generates through us. And God fills our hearts so much with love that love overflows even into difficult circumstances. Love is overflowing. What I've sensed this morning in this church is that you're a people where the love of God is flowing. When I was worshiping this morning with your worship, just feeling the sense of God's abundant love, hearing the prayer requests, hearing about miracles, God is pouring His love into all of you, and He wants it to flow more and more and more. And what does God ask? What does God ask? He's asking you, would you just open your heart to let that love flow? Would you just receive my Son? Would you let the Holy Spirit flow in you and through you? And is it always easy to make the first move to maybe make the apology. Is it always easy to have unity? It's not always easy. In fact, with us, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible in Jesus Christ, even being perfected in love. Perfected by God pouring his love in so that it pours out of you. Sanctification isn't just God, forgive me. It's God, fill me. It's praying, make me love like you love. So this week, pray for a heart full of love. Let your heart be love. Then do a selfless act. Help a neighbor. Serve somehow at the church, even if it's not noticed. Because guess what? Our Heavenly Father sees. He sees your heart. He sees when you submit to him and when you go ahead. Even if the world doesn't notice, God notices. And Jesus is praying for you, right? He's praying for you. This love leads us to something glorious, literally. Glory now. This is number 4 on our lessons today. Glory now and glory later. Jesus prays, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory. Jesus wants us to see glory, both when we're with him in heaven and right now. It's like catching a brilliant sunrise like I did this morning when I got up and went for a walk in North Bay just to see that beautiful sunrise. It's knowing, but it's also knowing that there's something even better coming. There's a day coming. There's a real show coming at the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected, and all of us will be resurrected because of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 says, we're being transformed from glory to glory, and every step of faith makes you a little brighter. Wesleyans get this. Holiness isn't just about a sin-dodging deal, right? We're not just dodging sin. It's reflecting the glory of Jesus. Do you realize that the glory of Christ, when he talked about people seeing his glory, he wasn't just talking about something beautiful. I'm looking at the cross on that banner. The glory of Christ shone brightest on the cross. On the darkest day in history was the most brilliant glory. Why? Because Christ submitted himself to death. We as human beings, we brought death into creation through the fall. And Jesus, he defeated death by submitting to death. It's a mystery in some ways how it all works. But by submitting to death, Jesus beat death. Because he was the perfect one. He was the only one who never sinned. And because he beat death, we're going to be resurrected. So it's glory now. You're resurrected now in your heart, and you're going to be resurrected bodily when Jesus comes back again. So he prays for us to be with him. Heaven came down. You've heard the song before. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. So his glory is a glory now, and it's a glory later. So what do? Live like eternity is real. Spend time in prayer this week and get closer to Christ. Let your life reflect his glory. And how do you do that? Well, Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, take up your cross, how often? Remember? Every day. Take up your cross every day. Is taking up a cross easy? I mean, it is not easy. It wasn't easy even for the Lord of the universe to go to the cross. When we take up our cross daily, when we take up that cross, we are saying, I will submit to the will of God, just like my Savior submitted to the will of God every day. Every day. And finally, there's a love that changes the world. That the love, Jesus said, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the grand finale. Jesus wants the same love that the Father, this is Father's Day, the one who invented fatherhood, God the Father. The love that God the Father has for Christ, he wants that love in all of us. And it's not just a warm, fuzzy kind of feeling. It's a love that forgives. It's a love that serves. It's a love that transforms. John Wesley said, this love is the heart of holiness. And it makes the church a lighthouse in a stormy world. So think of a campfire. One log burns out fast, but you put a bunch together and they keep going. And that's us. We're together. We bring the fire of God, this warmth to a community. We carry God's love together. And I see in how your church has come together. Different perspectives, but the same love. The community doesn't see a church, they see Jesus. So let God's love fill you through prayer and obedience, then let it show everywhere you go, even today. Even today, some of you are going to be in family situations with people who aren't necessarily following Christ. Just love them. Love them in the name of Jesus. And all of us together, we need to stay united in that love. Powassan Wesleyan Church, Jesus' prayer on Father's Day is the game plan. Be unified. Even when we have differences, be unified in Christ. Be sanctified. Let God's love rule your heart and be a witness. Show the world that Jesus is real. So this week, reach out to a believer in unity. Pray for the heart full of God's love and do one act to show the love of Jesus to someone. And be the answer to prayer that somebody else is praying in this community. Show that love. Would you stand with me? I want to take just a moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just want to ask you today, is there anyone who would just say with an uplifted hand, Pastor, I need God's help this week to show this kind of love. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over the room. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I just want to take a moment and pray for those who raised their hands, but I also want to pray for all of us today. Heavenly Father, as those hands went up, thank you for the honesty. And God, thank you that you will be abundant in answer. God, we can't do this on our own. None of us, Father, can be united with other human beings unless Jesus is at the center. So I pray that everyone here today, every person, no matter how old or how young, would simply say, Dear Lord Jesus, fill me today. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let me be filled with the Holy Spirit so that our church can be unified, so that we can be yours. And God, I pray for every family today, for every dad especially. We're fathers, we're imperfect fathers, but we can have perfect love. It's a love that only God can give, and we pray for our children and our grandchildren. God, we just pray for every family today that you would, Father, let Powassan Wesleyan Church just shine the light of Christ to every family in this community. And we pray all of this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.